Hello again, and welcome to the second edition of the Métier Class by Chanel. I'm Tyler Brûlé. In this special five-part series, we're exploring the philosophy, craftsmanship, precision, artistry, and design codes of Chanel with its family of collaborators. And over the course of the series, we'll be sitting down with Pharrell Williams, Lady Amanda Harlech, and Chanel's late art director, Karl Lagerfeld. Today we're in New York. We travel uptown to speak to Chanel's fashion president, Bruno Pavlovsky, the morning after the Maison's Egyptian-themed show at the Met. Bruno Pavlovsky has been with Chanel for over two decades, held a variety of posts, and today discusses the importance of local relevance, well-executed retail, and the wisdom that comes with a long-standing management team. Bruno, here we are in New York, post-Bangkok. I thought we could start with a very interesting announcement, which, of course, was exquisitely timed. But you announced on the eve of your show at the Met the abandoning of exotic skins, which on one side was a big statement. I thought it was positioned in a very interesting way. It was, I guess, partly ethical, but also a quality issue of what you're able to, of course, bring into collections. What drove it more, though? We're in a time right now where there is a much more vocal consumer, a much more vocal media in many ways. But what was the driver to make this announcement at this time?
The announcement is linked with métier d'art, and we'll come back on that, because part of the solution is, no doubt, within the craftsmanship of the métier d'art. But on top of that, it has become increasingly complex for us to deal with these exotic skins. So we have been working on that for the past 12 years, 15 years, 30 years, and we have not found any solution. And we have decided that it was time to move to something else. Complex because it was difficult to source. It was difficult to have the right level of traceability. And it was difficult also to explain our customer asking a lot of questions about these skins, and more questions. And we are not able to answer easily or with the right way to answer. So we decided that instead of trying to find solution to a problem where we cannot find solution because it's not up to us, we have decided to find another approach. And the other approach for Chanel, it's about creation. It's about craftsmanship. It's about innovation. All the topics that we believe are key for the future of the brand. And we have seen yesterday, and that's the reason why we have decided to announce that now in the collection, a certain number of bags which have all these, if I may say, criteria. First of all, they are very, very creative. So a lot of work from the design team, finding not only the shape, but the right way to mix different kind of materials together. Number one, craftsmanship, because this bag look more as a couture bag. Everything is detailed, and you see that when you touch the bag. And innovation, because again, we have been working on some embossed leather or some specific materials which give you this feeling of high-end luxury. So we believe, yes, instead of trying to find a solution to a problem that we cannot solve, it was much better to have another approach and to come with a new a proposal, a new assortment of high-end handbags that will continue to exist in our assortment.
So in many ways, this was a way to also open up a bigger discussion with the U.S. consumer, a global consumer, also about métier d'art at the same time. Correct?
Sure. Here we are so happy to be in New York because, you know, we have a strong link with our New York and American customers. And it's historical. It's linked with the haute couture. We have been able to develop the haute couture, you know, thanks to the support of our New York customers or American customers. And now, being able to be here with the métier d'art, it's a way to reintroduce them or to re-explain or to re-expose them to all this different craftsmanship. And it's what we are doing today with the customers. We are going through the key pieces of the collection, being able to show them the detail of this craftsmanship. And we believe that's something very important to value here in the States. They know our products, they know Chanel, they know but they have to be reintroduced to this craftsmanship.
How do you transmit this message right down to the floor in Dallas or in Beverly Hills? Because on one side, a consumer, of course, understands the notion of couture, but someone then has to express this. It's not sitting on a press release. I mean, it is, but at the same time, the consumer is not so interested. So how do you disseminate that? Because we've talked at length already about service, and this has to be so, I would say, essential in not just closing a deal, but also building a market.
Yeah, and so there is a different step. The first step with the customers is being sure that we can give them a good feeling, a good perception of what the brand can do. And what we are doing at the moment, you know, with our Instagram, for example, here in the States, all these videos, small videos about the different métiers are quite important because it's a way to start, if I may say, the journey with them and to expose them, you know, to all this craftsmanship. So that's the first step. Second step, obviously, when they come to the boutique, it's quite easy to display, to explain, and to show all the different finishings that we have, etc. But there is also a third step, which is being able to service them after and to continue to, if I may say, explain, but also service and give them the right input with this product. And today, it's exactly what we want to experiment between now and May with our American customers. We will propose them a lot of touch points to be able to better understand what is behind this métier, how Chanel can value this product. And no doubt that there is a design, there is a creation, Mr. Lagerfeld, Virginie Viard, the work they are doing. But there is also all this craftsmanship, and there is also all these materials and the work that we are doing by innovating and trying to find new materials, new leather, new finishing on the leather, all these kind of things which can make the difference. And that you have to explain to the customers, you know. You have to take them through the boutique and you have to continue to nourish them with all this kind of information. And I believe that's part of the strength of this brand, Chanel.
Does the core customer, do they care? Are they interested in the whole story? Or are they ultimately just interested in the silhouette, the label? If it was made in a nice factory in France, okay, that's nice. If it was a group of métiers that came around it, also nice too, but...
I think they care more and more, in fact. And we see that with the new generation of customers. And we see that, you know, our objective in the boutique is to deepen the relationship that we can have between a customer and a fashion advisor. We try to better anticipate their visit to the boutique. We try to give them as much as possible information about what they want to see in the boutique. That's becoming more and more important. And in fact, we realize that all these customers today, they want to understand more about the brand. They want to see the behind the scene of what we are doing. They want to have more traceability. They want to better understand what we are doing. It's not just for the beauty of the product. There is the beauty of the product. I think that's something which is very important. The design, I feel different. I feel good. I feel because I'm wearing this jacket. But there is also all the details that you don't see, which are in the jacket and which are making a big difference. You know, the luxury market is quite today active. You have many, many different proposals. And at the end of the day, this emotional link that you can create with your product, because you like it, you see the detail, you understand the people who have worked behind that, are probably becoming more and more important, even more important than the product by itself.
You mentioned emotional link. Is Chanel unique in the galaxy of course, other brands? It's a competitive marketplace. If I am in Chicago or Toronto or Los Angeles with, of course, lots of other luxury competitors, but the story that you can tell today because of the collection of métiers d'art, is your story unique in terms of what someone can sell in a very sort of convincing, compelling way?
Our job is to make the brand unique and to give this feeling to our customers. Now, I'm not the right person to be able to answer that. I think it will be quite interesting.
Well, who could answer that other than you, Bruno? Come on.
But I believe that the customer are probably the one who can better explain why they feel the brand is unique, you know? When they come quite often to the boutique, when they have this relationship, they want to understand everything about the brand. I believe it's because there is this emotional attachment to the brand. But in fact, you know, with Mr. Lagerfeld, that's our job to try to make the brand unique, at least to offer a very special emotion every time you are connected with the brand. And that's the reason why we are focused on this creative process. You know, 10 collections a year is 10 times the opportunity to deliver and to give something very special to the customers. You are not, as a customer, you are not obliged to like everything we are doing, but at least you feel something. You feel it's for you, you feel it's not for you. If today is not for you, tomorrow it will be for you. I think that it's part of our work to be able to develop that. So to be able to do so, obviously there is, again, the creative process. But sometimes you need more than the creative process. You need also to be able to set up the product and to develop the product and to have the right width, for example, being sure that you can propose evolution year after year to our customers. And one of the examples I like to take at Chanel is tweed. Tweed is one of the key material, if I may say, of the brand. Mademoiselle Chanel herself was using tweed, you know, in her time. This tweed was coming quite often from Scotland. It was a bit heavy. The tweed that you see today at Chanel is very different. And the past 20 years, we have been working quite hard in being able to renew this tweed offer. We have been working on the thread. We have been able to develop a new thread, natural fiber, and sometimes technical fiber. And we have worked quite a lot in the way to wave this product to be able to offer something very special. And today, when you wear a Chanel jacket, you feel that it's like a second skin, if I may say, and that's something which is very important. So no doubt that on one hand, we need the creativity of Mr. Lagerfeld because he's pushing us to another level every time. But we need also the people who are able to work day after day on this thread to be able to have this tweed becoming more and more special, even unique, okay? And that's part of the story. And that's why a lot of people find this brand very unique, is that on one hand, there is this creative process. On the other hand, there is all this development behind the product, which allow us to propose to our customers what we tend to call unique products.
And what's interesting is the development of unique products. It's driven by human intellect. It's human talent. It's people using their hands. At a time when everyone wants to talk about digitization of businesses, it's very interesting that you're focusing on a very human story right now and the value of a human story, because it's curious. You've been through maybe the last 10 years, you could say, where everyone's been very concerned about, was the sheep happy who was living in New Zealand? And can I trace him? And can I look at him, you know, smiling on the top of a mountain? But somehow, over time, we forgot about the people who are making the clothes. In fact, we've been worried about the snakes and the lizards and everybody else. And yet, yeah, okay, we know that we don't want children making things, but we forgot about the talent that is sitting in an atelier every day, innovating. And I guess the more important piece is, I come back to, and we'll talk about the project that's happening in Paris and opening, I guess, in late 2020, to also be employing people in a city, a creative city, and not in the middle of nowhere, in a place which is a little bit untraceable, unseen, forgotten. A long question, but is this also part of the message as well with Métiers d'Art to sort of recognize also human achievement in this as well?
But I think the people are key. We need to have talented people at all level. Obviously, the number one, Mr. Lagerfeld, we need to have his impulse. It's key. Every collection, every shows, give us the direction where people have to work and have to go. But on a day-to-day basis, you know, when we manufacture our product, we need to have these people who understand, you know, everything about this product, being in leather good, being in ready to wear. We believe that's quite important. And the nice point to what you have said is that today, which was not the case 20 years ago, when you go and you visit the atelier, you see a lot of very young people, you know, men, women, who love the idea of working and working, you know, working with their hands and being able to give also a contribution to this creative process. Because the way they are working, they are not just following instruction. They have to imagine and to participate to the development of the piece they are working on. And we see more and more people today, and that's the nice part of the story, who are ready and who are very happy to work in this atelier. You know, they are quite motivated because they believe that they contribute to something which is much bigger. Okay, and I can tell you that after a show like the one we have seen yesterday, when we are in Paris and when we have all these people coming to talk with us about the show, and they are very proud of the products that they have been able to develop. So I think that's something which is becoming more important, you know. We can do what we do because we have a strong support, a strong participation, a strong initiative also of all these people who are participating to the development of the collections.
How do we inspire a next generation, French, German, Italian, Portuguese, to send their CV to come and become an apprentice in one of the ateliers, you know, in one of course, these many businesses that you're supporting? How do we inspire that? Because I think we see now people are much more interested in, yeah, maybe they want to be in a digital tech world. This seems more attractive. And maybe not as labor intensive. How do you keep the next generation going?
I think the reason why, one of the reasons why we have decided to communicate and to share more about all this atelier, it's also the best way to invite, if I may say, people to come to see and to discover. Our next building in Paris, 19 arrondissement, you know, Aubervilliers, Port d'Aubervilliers, the new building is exactly about that, okay? It's a new way, it will be, because it's coming 2 years from now, it will be a new way to put all these ateliers together, but also to be able to create from scratch ateliers that people can visit, people can understand, and people can also participate to what we are doing. So not all kind of people, it's not be an open, it's not open door. But when we want, we'll be able to invite and to have a lot of people to come and visit and perhaps also participate to what we are doing. Because again, we believe that being able to show what we are doing, being able to engage the people, you know, on what we are doing will be the best spokesperson to this very special craftsmanship.
When we met in Bangkok some weeks ago, it was also interesting because we did a session and we talked really about the essence of brand to a group of young students from across the region in business, in fashion as well. Would you say right now it's perhaps not easier, and it's not, of course, easy to find another Mr. Lagerfeld and certainly other people at his level to work with him, but it's maybe more difficult in a way to find a good shop manager to look after Singapore as much as it is someone who knows how to apply a beautiful border onto a jacket.
Again, I think that today, find people who are able to work in the boutique, find people who are also able to VM, visual merchandise, the boutique. It's probably the most difficult. At Chanel, one boutique, one story, is something which is key. And in each boutique, we need to have people who are able to understand the brand, to understand the collection, and to display the collection with the same energy, the same creative energy than the one we see in Paris during the show. And for that, we need talented people who are ready to take some risk in the way to display everything. And by experience, it's become more and more difficult to find these people. So the more we can talk about that, the more we can share this experience, the more we'll probably have people interested by this new creative métier. We always talk about digital, but here in the boutique, it's the same kind of approach, you know. These people have to reinvent day after day, all year long, in the boutique, the best decor to ensure that the collection is impactful, to ensure that they create the right ambience for the customers. And this one are not talking to the customers, you know. They need to imagine the boutique every day to make the boutique quite attractive and impactful for these customers. And there is many, many different métiers like that, that we are, which are not very well known, but which are so important when you are working in a luxury brand like Chanel.
Now, you started at Chanel as a very, very young boy.
I'm still very young.
Yes, of course. So, no, but I'm curious. Do you think you're able to have this VM person or an advisor as well evolve through longevity and time spent within the business? They become better in that world as opposed to always bringing on new people. Because again, it seems that, yeah, if we look at media, it's always about, oh, this person has jumped from this luxury house to that luxury house in this marketing job, in this design job. But I'm wondering if there's also something to be said for people who are committed to the business as well and have been there 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
For sure, for me, that's the most important. Because to be able to understand a brand like Chanel, which is quite complex, you know, you need to understand the story, you need to understand Mr. Lagerfeld, you need to understand the vision, it takes time. Okay, you cannot ask people to know everything after 2, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, okay? And if you want to start to contribute and to bring your contribution to the brand, it takes 2 years, 3 years to be ready for that. So I don't know if it's an old school or not, but I believe that loyalty is probably what is missing in the company of today. Small loyalty.
And you say company, many companies, not
many
just,
companies.
Yes.
I'm not talking about Chanel, but loyalty, engagement. Be sure that you build year after year a strong contribution to what you are doing. I believe that's something we have no price. Okay, I've been working with Mr. Lagerfeld for now 28 or 29 years. Virginie Viard the same. Eric Frander even more. Okay, and so all together we have been together for quite a long time. And we have done mistakes. We have done amazing things also. But at the end of the day, we know how to work together. And we believe that we are much more efficient working like that.
This is a fascinating intersection because when I think of the artisan, when I think of the métier d'art, there's a craftsmanship and there's a precision to handworking. But in a modern context as well, it's also imprecise because it's by hand. There is something which is going to make it just that. It's handmade in the most beautiful way. But also when you talk about your longevity with your colleagues as well, there's also maybe a certain imperfection as well that not everything is written down. How much of a good brand do you think is unwritten, that it is about relationships as opposed to brand manuals, the C's need to be this way, Peter Mariner needs to do every shop, etc. I'm wondering how much of it is also spoken and yeah, in the air in a way.
You need to find a good balance. We need a little bit of both, okay? And depending on also the timing, depending what's happening around, I think you need that. But you took the example of Peter Mariner. Every time we start to work together on a new boutique, we start from scratch, talking about what will be the objective of the boutique, who are the customer, what do we want to do? Is that mainly for tourists? Is that mainly for local customer? Do we want to push the ready-to-wear? Do we want to, you know, every time you need to ask this question. Every time we start a new collection with Mr. Lagerfeld, it's exactly the same, okay? Start from scratch, but from scratch. What we have is the brand. What we have is the codes of the brand. What he has is the codes of the brand. And from scratch, he has to develop and to start working, offering a new angle, something on top of what he has done. So there is some codes, and this code has to exist, you know. Tweet is an example. But after that, every time you need to bring something new and to be able to do so, because you are always looking to the future. You have to take risk, you know, when you are a designer like that, being Mr. Lagerfeld, being Peter Mariner. they're taking risk because every time they sketch, from scratch, something new. And for that, they need to have a strong support. They need to feel that the teams behind are here to make the execution right, qualitative, and impactful. So I believe that the more you are in this creative area, the more you need to have loyal and strong people who help you to reach and to do the right execution.
You've mentioned the word codes many times. I doubt it's like being in a McKinsey setup where the seven codes are written on the wall. I don't think anyone, I doubt they're probably written down.
No, but you don't need to write. Yeah, you're totally right. I think you don't need to write this code. And the codes are here at the beginning of something, but they are here also to be changed. And the nice thing, when you are in this creative area is that there is no limit. If you start to put your limit, it's becoming more and more difficult. So sometimes I think it's good to have no limit. We'll do a show in Cuba, we'll do a show in the Met, we'll do this kind of thing. There is no limit in the idea. And after, see if we can make it happen or not. I think it's the same for the collection. We start from nothing and all the developments are coming one after the other. And you don't know where, in fact, you don't know what will be the end of the journey. And that's the nice thing in this creative organization.
Are some things non-negotiable, though?
Many things are not negotiable, keep the brand consistency. But the people who are defending the non-negotiable are the creative people themselves, We don't need to have a non-negotiable. They know what is not negotiable.
Which is a luxury in itself.
By itself.
Can we just rewind for a moment? Because we jumped in today talking, obviously, about your announcement with materials and that you won't be using exotic skins, etc. But I want to go back to really the essence of the Métier d'Art and the relationship that you have with these individuals, these largely family-owned companies, and almost a philanthropic approach that you've taken. I imagine some of these ateliers would not be with us anymore if it wasn't for the custom of Chanel. Maybe some would have continued to thrive on their own. You seem more passionate as a CEO than others in supporting these. And I'm wondering, is it only from a position of business, or is there also a cultural component? They're a foundation of creativity in France. They're a foundation of the industry. Where does the passion lie to really stand behind this, to put on this show at the Met and many others that you've done around the Métier anyway?
I think it's a bit of everything. With the Métier d'Art, I think it's quite interesting to come back to the beginning of the story. It was in 2002, something like that, so more than 20 years ago, when we start to work on this Métier. In fact, it was a kind of gentleman agreement. We are working, Mademoiselle Chanel herself was working with some of them. I'm talking about Le Marié, I'm talking about Goussens, I'm talking about Massaro. Carl obviously continued to work with them and to work with some others. And, all these ateliers, which were around, were key for Chanel, for Mr. Lagerfeld, but were facing some changes, being economic, being succession planning or whatever. They were in fact quite fragile. And we have had this kind of gentleman agreement at that time, is that if something happened, Chanel will be here to support them and just to ensure that this atelier can continue to survive and to develop. And that was the early beginning of this par affection story. It was a gentleman agreement. So no doubt that we were sharing a vision. No doubt that we knew where we want to go. We don't know how, but the direction was quite clear. And we have started to work like that. But one of the first ones I've been working with was François Lesage at Le Sage. And again, there was nothing written. It was a gentleman agreement. We were talking, every month about what are the next steps, what are the challenges, what do we have to do, how do we do to recruit new people, how do we train these people, all these kind of things. And step by step, we build what is Le Sage today. And the same happened with all of these atelier. Today we have 26, so it has been a long story, but they all contribute to what is Chanel today. So again, these people are for sure passionate. And what we are trying to do when we need to find new ones, because that happens on a regular basis, we need to find the same passion. We need to find the same entrepreneurial motivation. And these people are here to create the condition that this atelier continue to exist, not now, but in 10 years from now. Okay? And that's what we are doing at Chanel all the time. We are working today, not for the tomorrow, but for 10, 15 years from now, being sure that the brand, when I say the brand Chanel, it's also true for all the ateliers which are around us, continue to exist. And in this landscape, my job is to work on the 10 to 15 years. It's not to work on today. So that's something which is key in terms of mindset. And that's something that I have not seen in other brands, is a way to look at the future, but with a medium term, you know, 5 to 10 years, being sure that today we can take the right decision for the future. And that's something which is quite interesting to do, because you have to force yourself to make decisions.
And I imagine one of the decisions must have been, what, 5, 4 years ago, though announced recently, that you'll bring some of these 26 under one roof in the 19th arrondissement. What was the precise thinking there? On one side, obviously, to create a window and a platform, but do you see that this also will have other benefits as well than, of course, just geography and putting people under one roof?
I think no doubt, first of all, we want a window. We want a window to show everyone that this métier, this atelier are quite important. Okay, it was obvious but difficult to make it happen, to find a location where we can have everyone together. But when we brief first the architect, Rudy Ricciotti, the idea was to give us a feeling of craftsmanship. And that's the reason why he worked on this kind of fabric approach, just to show from outside that it's here, we're talking about craftsmanship. That's something which is very important. On top of that, our expectation is because they will be all together under the same roof, not some of them, not all of them, the idea is to open the doors and be sure that all this atelier will work more than ever together. Okay? And for Chanel, but not only for Chanel, some of the pieces that we have seen yesterday night, it's a combination of 2, 3, sometimes even 4, of this atelier working together. And we want to be able to develop more and more this kind of collaboration. One is specialized on feather, another on embroideries, another on I don't know what. And being able to work together, we create products that we even don't imagine today that they come to exist. And that's probably the best way. These products are quite expensive because the value of craftsmanship that we find behind this product is quite high, quite unique, and for me that has no price.
You said that there's 26 right now. If you look out 5, 10 years, do you also see new entrants coming? And I guess thinking from a technological point of view, is there room as well if you decide there's an advancement in 3D printing, if there's a new weaving technique, if you suddenly made a trip to Japan and you thought there's something proprietary in this, we should support this, do you see a 28th, 29th, 32nd?
Yeah, it's not that much about the number. It's more about the topics. I will give you an example. Again, tweed. Tweed is so key at Chanel, the tweed, that everything we need to be able to develop the tweed, to offer to our customer a new generation of tweed, that will be key and important. So today, we are working with companies, and I'm sure that some of them will be part of Parafection in the coming months, which are developing threads. Okay, thread, it's a métier by itself. Okay, it's very complicated to be able to work on thread, and you have less and less, you have less and less company, no company able to develop this level of technology. So at the moment, we are working on new initiatives, new program of research and development on these threads. And I am sure that in 3-4 years from now, we'll be able to offer even another level of tweeds, which will be quite nice and to wear.
Finally, I just want to end on and coming back to the essence of craftsmanship, creation by, of course, by mind and by hand, and how you see the path for this. On one side, you create a window, and hopefully this brings in a next generation who wants to be part of this. Does this become a unique selling point for Europe? Because we're sitting in New York. This was a city that once had an incredible garment industry, still exists, but hugely depleted because it went elsewhere. Is this something that France, Europe Incorporated, needs to focus more on?
For sure. I think that it's quite difficult to find this level of craftsmanship. And you need to develop people, you know, and to educate and to train people year after year to be able to be to reach this level of expertise. And today, we see a lot of initiative in the tech, etc., but not that much in this, when I say old, it's very respectful, hein? This old métier, which for me continue to have a reason, more than a reason, will be part of our future.
And that concludes this second edition of Métier Class by Chanel. We've been in conversation with Chanel fashion president Bruno Pavlovsky, and you can follow the rest of this series over the coming weeks here on Monocle 24 or download them from your favorite audio source, including Chanel's 355 series on iTunes. Up next, I'll be speaking to Chanel collaborator Lady Amanda Harlech in Paris, and you'll want to tune in to our exclusive sit-down with Mr. Pharrell Williams in Edition 4. Today's show is coordinated by Monocle's Daphne Hazard, produced by Holly Fisher and Fernando Augusto Pacheco. I'm Tyler Brulé. Thank you for listening.